Good to be here. I want you to just kind of close your eyes a bit, and I want you to kind of think back. What's your earliest memory? How far back can you recall people or events? What things, people or events, kind of stand out in your memories? I find that I can remember events that happened to me that happened unexpectedly or out of the norm. When I think about it, I can remember my first day at school. We had lived in an elementary school in the uptown area. You probably are familiar with the area. It's Broadway, Argyle. Nowadays it's called New Chinatown. But I remember the route that I had to take to walk to school. I remember my first grade teacher's name. I remember the first car I purchased, getting married, the birth of my kids, and the birth of my grandkids. And similarly, in the spiritual realm, there are spiritual events that are kind of ingrained in my memory. Every believer, as Pastor Pearson just mentioned, you know, has a story. And my story is not going to be the same as your story. In fact, maybe the way that you came to know Christ is different than the way I did. But my story is probably going to be brief. We'll probably get out of here very soon. Because I remember a preacher once mentioning to me, you know, that you know, if you only had 5-10 minutes to share what Christ means to you, you have to kind of condense your testimony to that time frame. So when I think back, I recall my first exposure to Christianity was through the Sunday school. At that time, there was a church that sent a bus around in our neighborhood. And we would get on that bus, and they would take us to the church for Sunday school. The church that I went to at that time was First Evangelical Free. It's a church located in the Edgewater area, located at Berwyn and Ashland. And so I went there, and then after a time, after Sunday school, then I would ride the bus back home. And so we did that, or I did that for a while. And then over time, I became involved with the youth group there. We had a Boy Scout troop, so I got involved in that. We went camping, retreats, things like that. And we also played a little basketball in the basement. They had a little basement basketball court, half court. I also spent time at another church, which is about a half mile east, called the North Shore Baptist Church. Both churches are within a mile of where I live. And at that time, we used to just kind of walk to church because it was close enough to walk. So I kind of remember going to that church, splitting my time between both of them. And then over the years, I kind of decided I'd spend more time at North Shore. I think maybe one of the reasons was it has a full court basketball court rather than a half court. But North Shore was a unique church at that time. It was a church that had actually four language services: English, Chinese, Japanese, and Spanish. And all the churches kind of operated under the same roof. My parents went to the afternoon service and the Chinese service, and I went to the morning service, which is the English service, and I kind of joined their youth group. And our youth group was different than the way we're structured here at North. At my church there, we were led by a woman advisor and her husband. All of us in the group called her Grandma Fryer. I think probably because her hair was all silver gray. But she and her husband kind of invested a lot of their time with the youth. And they would spend their Friday evenings with us. opening up their homes for cookouts, even accompanying us on a lot of retreat weekends that we spent. At that time, we spent a lot of time going up to Green Lake during the year, so you know, we'd drive up on Friday night, stay the weekend, and come back Sunday. We did a lot of the typical youth group activities, Bible study, worship, games, retreats, and community outreach. Sometimes we'd walk to Foster Avenue Beach, which is about a half mile east of the church, just to hang out, or we'd go to the Edgewater Beach Hotel. It used to be a large hotel on the along the lake. There's a big field there, and sometimes a lot of the guys would play football in the back. And although I participated in all these church activities and had some knowledge of Jesus, I wasn't ready to commit myself to having a personal relationship with the Lord. In my old church, we used to have an invitation given at the close of service. The pastor would invite people to accept Jesus and ask them to kind of walk down the aisle. And although the invitation was appealing, I myself, you know, did not really feel that I was ready to take that step and to walk down that aisle, which was somewhat intimidating to us. And as I said, you know, some people accept the Lord through maybe a one-on-one interaction with somebody. Some receive it through a Sunday school invitation or VBS. Maybe they come to Christ through a Bible track or an altar call. For me, personally, it was one Friday evening. We were watching a Billy Graham film. You know, at the end of each Billy Graham film, there's usually an invitation. And the invitation to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it was at one of those evenings that I accepted the Lord. And then I told Grandma Pryor my decision. Because I realize, you know, you don't have to get yourself up to a certain spiritual level to come to Jesus. You can come to Him right now, as long as you recognize what He did on the cross, and then receive His forgiveness. I realize that, you know, once I made that choice, that my attitude began to change. I had a desire to learn more about God and His Word. I noticed that my change in radio stations changed. I started switching over to, at that time it was a radio station called WMBI, which is now Moody Bible Institute's station. And many of the programs that I listened to while I was driving or listened at home. It's a way of getting more spiritual knowledge, more information, growing in the Word. Some of the favorite pastors that I listened to were, at that time, Chuck Swindoll, John MacArthur, and Erwin Lutzer. I was blessed by some of the messages that I heard on that. But I would say, you know, your spiritual journey or my spiritual journey is not always on a positive slope. Sometimes it has its little ups and downs. And I was kind of reminded of that at one time when I was at my pastor's home for dinner one evening. And then after dinner, I was in his study. And then out of the blue, you know, he goes up to me and he says, Gary, backsliding. Well, that kind of surprised me because I was wondering, well, how did he know? You know, I actually can't recall, you know, what it was that, you know, prompted that. You know, I thought, well, you know, maybe it's because you noticed I wasn't in service. Because as a youth group, we usually sat in the first few rows of the sanctuary. We had a large sanctuary similar to our one on the other side where we had a lot of pews. And so the youth group usually sat in the front. So, you know, maybe that was the the cue or the tick off. So, you know, maybe I was missing a lot of Sundays. I don't actually recall. But he noticed that, and he mentioned it to me, and that stuck in my memory when I think back about it. And it reminded me that I needed to make a course direction, a change. Now, at that time, you know, Mary and her family, they were attending the Chinese service, which was in the afternoon. My mother and father were going there, too. And I usually would go there to pick them up after service. And it was one of these Sundays, I recall seeing Mary standing with a clipboard, you know, waiting for people to sign up for, they call it an MCBC conference, which is a Midwest Chinese Bible conference that they had over the years for young adults. And I remember that it was at one of these young adult retreats that I had another turning point, another reminder in my life. And the speaker I remember at that time was Pastor Greg Oye. And I remember that that he spoke in the book of Daniel. And throughout the book of Daniel, you know, we read that he was someone that was faithful, even though he was in the midst of a pagan culture. And he remained faithful throughout everything that was thrown to him. And at the closing campfire, we were all gathered around. I felt the Spirit kind of moved my heart that I needed to say something, to share something, and realize that I wanted to be like Daniel. I wanted to be faithful in the midst of what was happening around in the culture at that time. So I shared that at the campfire. Recommitted myself to the Lord and desire to continue to grow and walk with Him. I kind of never looked back from that point. As time moved on, you know, I got married, we had kids, and Mary and I, we kind of worked together as a team to kind of pass along Christian values and beliefs to our kids and hopefully assisting our grandkids. And I thank God that all of them, when I look back on their lives, they're still walking with the Lord, serving with the Lord. And, you know, maybe you're kind of looking for, you know, the meaning of life. Maybe you're seeking, investigating the claims of Jesus. If you've ever been to a Billy Graham crusade or watch any of their films, you know, as I said, they usually end with an invitation. And it's usually a four-step process. And I'll just kind of take you through the four steps. But the first step is that that God loves you and He has a plan for you. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." Jesus came that you may have life and have it abundantly. But there's a problem. And that's because man is sinful. We are sinful, separated from God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And this results in a separation. I remember Dr. Green was one of our English pastors a long time ago. You know, he said, you know, heaven is a perfect place and you're imperfect. How are you going to get there? Well, we have to take on Christ covering us. So what's the good news? Well, the good news is that God sent His Son to die for our sins. God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. But it didn't end, you know, on that cross. He rose again and still lives. According to the scriptures, Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. Jesus himself claimed that he is the only way to God. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. So what do we need to do? Are you looking to receive God's forgiveness? You can't earn it. We're saved by his grace when we have faith in the Son Jesus. I'm reminded of an acronym. I was at a Sunday school convention, and one of the speakers was big on acronyms. And two of them that I really recall is he used the word fanatic, friends and neighbors all trusting in Christ. And then he mentioned grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Those stick in my mind, even all those years. You know, Christ did it for us. So all we have to do is realize, you know, that we sinned, that he died for us, and ask for his forgiveness. And then turn from it. You know, that's called repentance. Turning 180 from what we used to do toward him. So Jesus Christ, he knows you and he loves you. And it usually closes with a prayer. And, you know, maybe somebody in this room is kind of thinking about that. And you know, if you just close your eyes at this time, we'll just let the Spirit move, and I'll just read the prayer that that usually a lot of these films share. And it's a simple prayer that if this is something that God is moving in your heart, that you've been thinking about, you're wondering, you know, how to become a Christian, you know, this is the prayer that you could pray yourself. You know, if you're at this point in life, you don't have to be waiting to get ready to be at a certain spiritual level. You can come as you are. And the prayer is, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus is your Son. I believe that he died for my sin, that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior, follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide me. Help me to do your will. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And maybe, you know, maybe you're somebody that, you know, maybe you've been kind of backsliding, you know, kind of slipping back to your old ways. And, you know, maybe it's a time that you might want to think about who you are, your spiritual journey. You know, a lot of people can come to church, go through a lot of the spiritual like things, but never really connect with Jesus. You know, I'm reminded of that when sometimes we go to the Billy Graham Crusades. They had a couple in Chicago many years ago, and even people in the choir may not all be believers, because at the end of a Billy Graham Crusade, when Billy Graham offers the invitation, people can start walking out of the stands. You know, sometimes there are people from the choir, a lot of people from the audience. So only God knows, you know, where you're at. You know, he will draw you to him. So that's how I came to know him. I hope that, you know, if you were someone that, you know, maybe prayed this prayer that I shared, mention that to one of the pastors, deacons, elders, and let them know. So, We want to help you on the spiritual journey. Thank you. Okay. Why don't we pray then? Why don't we pray? Father, we're just grateful for a time that we can share your word, share the impact that you had on my life and the lives of many believers. And we just pray that as we continue our spiritual journey, that you would remind us of your love for us, your desire to know you more, to build relationships with one another, to be a witness to you in all areas of our life, with many people that cross our paths, whether it be at school, at the neighborhood, in the shopping center, anywhere. And Lord, as we look forward to sharing a little bit of appreciation for our police who serve this community, we just pray and thank you for their service to the community and protecting us. Thank you, Lord, for this time this morning. We commit this to you. In Jesus' name, amen.